I hope you're just as excited as I am to get started on another week of our verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word. Today, we kick off in the book of Romans, chapter number 13. And this passage can be quite problematic for certain individuals within modern-day Christianity that really don't like following certain rules in their culture. And as we go through this, I will critique some of that bad thinking and hopefully challenge you, if you're one of those doing this, to give it up, to actually do what we talk about from time to time, and that is repent. That is, change the way you're thinking. Bring your thinking into alignment with God's word. Now, Paul is writing this, I believe, probably in the early months of the year 58. So it is the Roman Empire he lives under. It is a young emperor Nero that is in control of that empire. And so you've got to understand everything he says against that sort of backdrop. Now, before we even begin, I'm going to lay down to you what I believe is the clear-cut rules of thumb provided in Scripture on this topic of how do we obey the civil authorities. Effectively, unless that civil authority is in direct conflict with something specifically told you by God Himself, you have to do what the civil authority says. Doesn't matter if you think it's stupid. Doesn't matter if you think it is unfair. It does not matter a whit what your opinion is about that particular rule. If the rule does not specifically violate something God told us in His Scripture, it is to be obeyed. Now, Romans 13, verse number 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. So you have to follow the laws of the land. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. So God is the absolute authority. And He has allowed that authority to be placed on governing bodies underneath His permissive will. If He allows them to come into existence, they are legitimate. Therefore, verse 2, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now, He is not talking about resisting those authorities when what they are telling you to do is in direct conflict with what God has told you to do. That principle is covered in the book of Acts, when the apostles say to the Sanhedrin, after they've been told to quit talking in the name of Jesus, you have to decide for yourself, should we obey God or you? And of course, the answer is, if there's conflict between God and the civil authorities, you always obey God. But that conflict, let's be absolutely honest, that conflict hardly ever comes up, because most governments are trying to just keep the peace between the members of their particular country's society. And so they actually use many of the rules that God would want in place to keep the peace. Remember, it all ultimately boils down to the great commandment. Everyone is responsible to love God with 100% of their being, and then horizontally, interpersonally, love their neighbor as their self. treat the other people as they would want to be treated. And so most of the laws are dealing with that interpersonal relationships. And we are expected to obey them unless they conflict with God's direct orders. Otherwise, we're actually sinning. That is something you have to get into your head. If you disobey the law, you're also sinning against God, because he's the one that said, obey the laws of the land. Let's keep reading and see how he kind of fleshes this concept out. Verse number 3, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Now, this is generically speaking. Most governments make rules to keep peace between peoples. And the punishments that they put in place are against those that break that peace up. So Paul says rulers are not going to be a problem for good conduct, behaving yourself, but instead for bad conduct, misbehaving yourself in that society. And then he asks this rhetorical question. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Well, the answer to that is obviously no. I don't want to be in fear of the one that's in authority. Well, then do this. Do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So again, for the most part, we are talking about governments that are trying to keep the peace amongst the people, and they are actually acting as God's agents in that process. And therefore, if you disobey, you're actually getting in trouble, not just simply from that government, but from God himself, because he told you to keep the rules. And again, I have to emphasize here, it doesn't matter what your opinion of those rules are. You may think they are ridiculous. You may think they are not reasonable. That does not enter into the equation here. It is whether or not God told you to obey them unless he told you otherwise. And again, we have to go back to the example in the book of Acts. The apostles had to follow the rules of the Sanhedrin, except when the Sanhedrin told them something opposite of what Jesus had told them to do. Continuing in here, verse 5. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. We have to keep a clear conscience with God by obeying those who are in authority. Now, at the risk of making a whole bunch of people angry, and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to use an example that I have often used whenever I teach through this topic, and that is the speed limit. The speed limit has nothing to do with morality. There is nowhere in Scripture that God says, thou must go as fast as you can. So this has nothing to do in opposition to what God has said to us. So if the speed limit says 55, we as Christians must go 55. If it says 30, doesn't matter if you don't like going that slow, you go 30. Because there is no direct conflict with what God told us. And if you speed, therefore, intentionally, accidental, that's a whole nother story, or for good reason, such as an emergency. If you speed just generically, on purpose, you're not just breaking the law of the land, you're sinning against God. It's as simple as that, folks. And you've got to suck it up, and repent and do the right thing. We could go into a whole bunch of other things. We've just recently came through a pandemic, and I was aggrieved, saddened, embarrassed by how many Christians said they would not comply with local rules regarding the wearing of face coverings just because they didn't want to. The fact of the matter is, there was no conflict with anything given from God. God never said anywhere, "Thou shalt not cover thy face during an epidemic." So it doesn't matter whether you agreed with the rules, doesn't matter whether you liked them. All that mattered was God said, obey the laws of the land, obey the government, obey the civil authorities, because God is the ultimate authority above them. And if you disobey, you're actually sinning against Him. Now, I know I've already made a whole bunch of you mad, so let's just go whole hog, right? Verse number 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. So taxes are revenues collected by the government in order to carry out their operations. And guess what? Most of us don't like paying those taxes, but they're needful. We may not agree with every place that those taxes get spent, but because they are not in direct violation of anything God has told us, we do it. Now, we might want to take action with other groups to try to lower the taxes or to try to get certain items taken out of the tax base. But we would use legal means to do those. We would work inside the laws of the land to take care of that, because otherwise we will be in direct violation of God's instructions here, and that's called sin. So God says in verse number 7, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So it doesn't matter whether or not you like that public official. You treat them with respect when you meet them, when you address them, when you talk about them. You can critique them fairly all you want, but you do it fairly and taking consideration that they are made in the image and likeness of God, and Jesus Christ died for them, just like He did for you and me. They may be blatant sinners, but we should still be praying for them and showing respect for them. They might even mistreat us. Doesn't matter. I'll give you an example of Paul. Paul was brought up into the Sanhedrin, into the center of the Sanhedrin area, and was questioned about some of the things that he'd been doing. And he tried to give a response, and the high priest signaled that he be slapped across the face. Now, that was not proper. It was inappropriate for that to happen. It broke Sanhedrin rules, actually. And so Paul, in a fit of anger from just that moment, said, "God's going to strike you, you whitewashed wall." And somebody said, "Is that any way to speak to the high priest?" And immediately, Paul's whole attitude changed. He readjusted it. He says, "No, for the scripture says you will not speak evil of the high priest, of God's anointed." And then he decided to go down another route entirely after that and deal with it. But he adjusted his attitude to be respectful, even to someone that had not been treating him proper. And so that's the same thing here. We as Christians are specifically told in Scripture, you obey the laws of the land, you pay the taxes that are charged to you, and you show respect and honor to those who are in authority. And actually, that last part, that's something we're supposed to do to everyone anyway. You know, Jesus said, not only should you love your neighbor, and not only should you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, he said, you should love your enemy, not hate them. You should pray for your enemy, not curse them. And do good to your enemy, not do nasty things back to them. And so all of this, I think, is part of what is needed to be absorbed by modern day Christians, especially in our own society here in America, to adjust their attitudes. Because I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I've never seen such stinky attitudes as I have in the last few years amongst Christians, where they seem to think it's perfectly appropriate to get even and to be mean and rude and object, not just simply eject, but refuse to obey rules that they don't like, and to even talk down and slander those that are involved in keeping those rules. Now again, when Paul is writing this, it is a pagan empire that he's living under. Nero is actually the Pontifex Maximus of the pagan Roman religion. He is the ultimate high priest of the pagan religions of the Roman Empire. And so many of the taxes that they collect go to things like upholding the worship of the gods within the Roman Empire. And yet Paul is still saying here, we believers must pay our taxes, because that is the proper thing to do, because God told us to do it. Now, some of you may immediately say, well, what about the American Revolution? They revolted against Great Britain. Are you telling me that was a sin? You need to go back and reread some of your history. The Declaration of Independence actually cites within it the reasons why they saw no other choice but to declare their independence from a king who was no longer acting as the agent of the government of the United Kingdom, that he was actually violating his own rules and regulations in abuse of the colonists. And they'd actually been dealing with this for more than 10 years before they finally said, enough is enough. He's not following his own rules. Here's a long list of his ways of breaking all of his own rules. And therefore, it seems only appropriate that we separate and form a new government where we will follow proper rules ourselves. That's the Declaration of Independence in a nutshell. And you will notice God permitted it to happen. So that means that the United States is not illegitimate, but rather a legitimate government that rose out of the illegitimate government that was going on in England at the time. And now, if you want to discuss any more on that with me, I'd be perfectly happy to go back and forth with you about it a lot. We need to follow the rules of Scripture. And if it's not enough for you that Paul wrote this in the book of Romans in, about 58, how about something from the Apostle Peter just a few years later in the early 60s? This is 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, and it was still Nero for the Apostle Peter at that time, a little bit older Nero, but still Nero. Verse 14, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil. Notice, Peter says the point of the government is to punish wrongdoing. and to praise those who do good. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So we as Christians are supposed to be the best citizens in whatever country we find ourselves in. We're supposed to be the best people, the best keepers of the rules in whatever that country is, so that people can't accuse us of being lawbreakers. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up from evil, but living as servants of God. You see, that's another one of my little pet peeves here, would be Christians who have tried to say that in their Christianity, they can do whatever they feel is morally appropriate. And if the government doesn't do everything to their specification, therefore, they are legitimate in not obeying that government at all. And that is a fallacious argument that does not match what we're reading here in these scriptures. We are to be living as God's servants in this world. And that includes following the laws of the land. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 2, honor everyone. So show respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood, so love your fellow Christians, fear God, honor the emperor. And that would have been Nero at the time. And so today, here in the United States, we don't have an emperor, we don't have a king, we have a president. And it is President Biden at the present moment. And guess what? According to Scripture, you should show him respect. And the vice president, Harris. You should show respect to her as well. To all of those that are currently running for offices, you should show them all respect. You may disagree with them. You may even be involved in activities to try to get one person promoted over another. But that does not include the freedom to slander and disrespect and mistreat people as if they were garbage. And so the scripture is clear, folks. We need to show that God is in control of our attitudes in how we live our lives in this present world. So I know that that's been very expressive, sometimes more expressive than I am, but I felt very strongly about this issue over the last few years, and I think it was important for us to really be specific in applying this scripture from Romans 13 this time through. Now, we're not done, because Paul still wants to tie in our responsibility of obeying the laws of the land to the fact that we are God's people. We are Christians. So in Romans 13, verse number 8, still in the same context, he says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. We are to do our best not to fall behind on what we owe people. We may, in fact, borrow stuff, but we need to pay that back and try to stay out of debt, try to stay out of falling behind, with the exception of love. We always ought to owe people love. And the love that it's talking about here is agape. The love which looks out for the other person, regardless of the cost to self. And Paul says, because that's the type of thing that fulfills the legal system of the Old Testament. Verse 9, for the commandments, and then he starts specifying some of them. You shall not commit adultery. That means don't cheat on your spouse, the one that you're supposed to love as yourself. You shall not murder, which means don't kill other people. Don't be taking their life from them just because you don't like them and because you want something they have. because that's not showing love. You shall not steal. Private property is upheld in scriptural principles. You don't take things from people that don't belong to you. It belongs to them because you're not showing respect and love for them when you do that. You shall not covet, which is, it's a form of greed. It's wanting more and more stuff, specifically wanting other people's stuff. It's kind of a precursor to stealing, to defrauding them. And that doesn't show love. So he says, and any of the other commandments, they're all summed up in this word or in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That sort of love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So everything we've been talking about today, including being submissive to the governing authorities, is governed by the two prongs of the great commandment. We love God with 100% of our being, which means we will respect him and follow his rules, all of them. And he also tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves and love our enemy. And so we need to be thinking about other people. And that means paying attention to the laws of the land. You know, the speed limits and the traffic signs and the traffic signals and all of that stuff, they are put there in a good faith attempt to keep people from hurting other people. The health precautions that we had for the endurance of the pandemic, they were put in with good faith to try to help people not hurt other people with their germs. And so all the laws of the land that we've been talking about are there to help protect and love other people. And so we Christians ought to be the best at that.